Thanks for joining the podcast with Tamara Gondor. Conversations with everyday innovators that reject status quo, think differently, and make a positive difference in their world. Listen in so you can ignite innovation, influence others, and make an impact too. And now your host, CrossFit addict, knee-high sock lover, and according to her kids, average cook, Tamara Gondor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm really excited for today. I'm excited for today for a couple reasons. One is my guest is just an incredible human being. I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years, and he has done an incredible job pivoting, adjusting, innovating, whatever cliche word you want to throw in there with himself and his business over the last couple of years. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that because I think that's going to inspire a lot of us to think about how to move forward. So Tommy, welcome to the show. Tell the world a little bit about who you are and the business that you're in.
Well, thank you for having me. My name is Tommy Bagwell. I am a co-owner of Fleur Salon in Denver, Colorado, and the CEO, the CMO, and the electrician, and the janitor, and all of the things, and a hairstylist, and a leader. I wear too many hats. That's me. And it's been an interesting journey over the last couple of years through the pandemic.
So if it's okay with you, I'd love to just dig into that right away, because I think that sets the stage for all the other questions. You said it's been an interesting journey. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting day where the entire staff called in sick, talking about how they were afraid to come to work because of this virus. And I don't watch the news because it puts me in a bad place. You know, I figure if it's important, I'll hear about it. And this is how I heard about it. You know, I was just kind of, my partner Andy and I were sitting in the salon trying to figure out what to do. And the first thing we did was go across the street to the bank and secure personal loans, just in case we had to throw money at the business or pay our mortgage. You know, because we thought if we had to get business loans, traditional business loans take forever to secure. Even if you wanted $2, that takes months and months and months.
Yeah.
You know, and like you, I thought, all right, 2 weeks, I'm going to work out every day. This will be fine.
I'm going to learn how to cook. I'm going to, yeah. Like, it's going to be amazing.
I'm going to do yoga. It'll be great. And yeah, that was March 15th of 2020. And I'll dive right into it. You know, I was talking to my parents, and my dad said, you know, my allergies are just killing me. They're starting early this year. And I think that was on the 16th or 17th. So by the 21st, my parents were on their way to the hospital with COVID. And my mom, they didn't admit my mom. They didn't have room for her. They said her fever wasn't high enough. My dad went into the hospital by himself. I talked to him that day, and then he went on the ventilator, and I never talked to him again. He passed away on April 1st. Oh. So my business is shut down. My dad is in the hospital dying. I was hoping he wasn't, but he was. My mom was trapped at home by herself. I couldn't go see her. And we were trying to secure these PPP loans, and the website just kept crashing and crashing, and I don't know. We didn't know what to do. And I mean, that was just a huge process. I'm probably rambling about that, but finally started getting that paperwork done, and then realized there's two revenue streams for my business. It's personal service and retail. And at first we could probably do some retail at curb order stuff, curbside order things. We were doing that, but then everything shut down. And so that's when I decided it was time to start a true online store for our retail. You know, sat down and figured out how to build an online store. And I'm just the kind of person who dives in and just figures it out as I go. I learn the hard way with everything that I do.
Well, we're going to dig into that. That's your experiential risk taker, everyday innovator style, because experiential is all about learning in motion. But can I back up for a second, Tommy? Because first of all, I just want to say thank you for sharing the totality of the experience. I think sometimes, particularly in the business world, we forget that there was a lot of personal shit happening to a lot of people through that time too. Whether you had, you know, a father in the hospital or just panic about how to pay your mortgage, like there were so much layered into what was happening, and you're dealing with all this personal stuff, and then you've got a business that's based on people coming into your business. Right? You can't do your business without that. And all of it's kind of happening, all of it's happening at once. And I'm just curious, before we kind of go on to where you pushed forward to, upon reflection, how you got through that, or how you kind of now look at that experience and that initial time.
I've never experienced anything so completely scary in my entire life. And I've lived, I was sitting on my living room floor, truly believing I was about to lose my business, lose my parents. You know, my mom, not only was she was homesick with COVID, but she should have been hospitalized. I mean, she could not catch her breath. When I talked to her on the phone, it sounded like she had just come in from a marathon. And so I really thought I was about to lose everything. It was the most desperate feeling that I've ever had. And at the same time, knowing that I'm supposed to be a leader to a team of stylists, that, and I wasn't great at that, because I just was trying to do it all and put a brave face on. But yeah,
I think, you know, it's been too, as someone said it to me best, they said it's like living in Groundhog Day and Warp Speed over the last couple of years, all at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I certainly, like, I don't mean to kind of drudge up all the stuff from the very beginning.
Oh no, but that's fine.
But I think it's part of your whole story. And I think what makes your move forward even more commendable, because, you know, it wasn't just, oh, I've got to pivot because the world is changing and I should innovate. But I've got to pivot because all these things are happening, and I need to make that happen.
Yeah, it was, I needed to do something, you know, and reflection on, you know, when I decided to start the online store, it was something that I had talked about from the beginning. You know, when you open a business, you have these big ideas. You're like, oh, and then we'll have an online store and we'll do this. And then you're busy, you know,
and then you're working.
Exactly. So it was kind of one of those situations where I suddenly had the time to do it. But the reality was, it was a desperate attempt to try to save my business and give me a false sense of control over what was happening to my life. It gave me something to work on besides the, you know, work on my business, whether it was doing anything for it or not, but in a way that kept me from sitting and staring at the wall and losing my mind.
So you said a couple of really important things in there. First of all, necessity is a mother of invention. Isn't that the old phrase? Like, sometimes we innovate because we have no choice. It's not because, like, oh my God, I have all this extra time on my hands, so I'm going to go do something different. And you even said it, you get so busy being successful what you're doing that all those ideas that you have that might push you even forward get pushed to the wayside because you're busy doing and you don't even have the time. When you set out to create this online store, which is your, like you said, this is not an area you have any knowledge in. You weren't saying, oh, let's see if we can sell a few products online. You were saying, like, let's put the business online as well, because we don't know what the future looks like. What were your steps? Like, how did you figure that out? I think for a lot of us, that initial step is the scariest.
You know, I built the salon website. So I vaguely know how to build a website. Drag and drop, you know, and then personalize. I don't know how to code or anything. So I started with that and then just started plugging it in, you know, and I'm a person who wings it. I just figure stuff out. I'm so determined to sit down and just copy if I need to, and copy and improve if I need to. So yeah, I just tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it, and then decided, you know, yes, this is a focus for our existing clients to buy their products and help support the business, but why not just make it national? And so I set it up as a really beautiful retail website that doesn't look like it's a small business at all. And did some small Google ad situations so that, you know, it can be introduced to people that aren't in the Denver area and aren't already familiar with our business.
I want to highlight real quick, because you've kind of shown in what you're talking about, that your everyday innovator style is risk taker experiential. And for those out there listening, risk taker is all about leaping, being uncomfortable, and actually innovating in the uncomfortable space. We like to be a little bit more bold. When we, that's how we think actually. And the experiential is all about innovation and motion, which is all about doing. So things can't live in our head. They have to actually go out. And I say we, because funny enough, Tommy and I share an everyday innovator style, which as I was saying is experiential is only 3% and risk takers only 9%. So I was like, well, no wonder we get along so well. We're like looking in the mirror. We're like, yeah, of course. I totally
get it. And we get each other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you bring that up, it kind of strikes something in me. I tend to get innovative and think outside the box when things are bad, when it out of necessity, when I'm like, okay, something's got to happen. And then all of a sudden I figure something out. Sometimes it's not the right step, but you know, you live and you learn, hopefully you grow, which is what I like to say.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How have you, cause what I'm, a lot of what I'm hearing and what you're saying is, that you just like, you try and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, right? You adjust, you move on, you change. How, I think that's hard for a lot of people who kind of get analysis paralysis or want things to be perfect before they do anything, which we know is a falsehood, but that's what they want. How have you gotten so comfortable just putting that stuff out there, trying? And what advice do you have for other people who are trying to get better at that?
I always start with research. I'm a big research nerd. I like to read about and just go down rabbit holes of things that interest me, because if I need to create something or do something, or if I'm just interested. But with, I think I've always just been a creative person that needs to work with my hands. So I do a little bit of research and then I just start, for lack of a better word, tinkering. And then I just get obsessed and just dive and go. Just go. I mean, you can adjust as you go along. You know, a friend of mine who's very wise once said, just always say yes and then figure it out in business and in life. And so I try to do that. Just say, okay. And then just figure it out as you go. You can always adjust. You can always like straighten the line as you go.
I love that advice though, because I think we forget that you can actually, once you put it out there, it doesn't mean it's final.
Exactly.
And I really... thank you for that reminder. Cause I sometimes get stuck in that too of, oh my God, somebody saw that and it didn't look perfect, or it had a spelling error. It had a, in the meantime, just change it.
We live in a time where everything is edited. You can edit anything, you know, I mean, almost everything's digital. You can just edit it. Nothing's really set in stone. Like print used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, with the salon website that I built, I knew that I wanted to manage my own website because I'm the kind of person that edits and adjusts. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think, you know what, this would look better. And I want to be able to open it up and tweak it. And so with the online store, it's been tweaked several times over and over and over and over, because I just want to polish it and polish it, polish it, you know?
You're listening to Conversations with Everyday Innovators on With Tamara Gondor podcast. Let's take a moment to thank our generous partners that make this possible.
I want to take a moment to talk about my friends at Howdy Puppy. Dogs experience all the same problems as humans when it comes to joint pain, anxiety, digestion, and arthritis. A great way to help our four-legged family members with these ailments is with CBD-infused pet treats. Who doesn't like treats? As you longtime listeners know, my Mastiff Zoe is part of my family, but is getting older and has some anxiety issues when strangers come around. Howdy Puppy CBD dog treats has totally changed her disposition. And I know she feels like her young, energetic, confident self when she gets Howdy Puppy CBD dog treats. There are many CBD-infused dog treats on the market, but the truth is that many of them are overpriced and ineffective. We've looked at dozens of CBD dog treats and found most of them disappointing. Howdy Puppy is among the best brands in the CBD pet business. They deliver consistent quality, and their treats look and taste amazing, according to our dogs, of course. The company makes CBD dog treats in 3 flavors: steak, bacon, and cheese rolls. All of Howdy Puppy CBD treats contain natural ingredients, including high-quality full-spectrum hemp oil, all sourced and made in the USA. Full disclosure, I'm an investor in Howdy Puppy. But before I put my name on the company, I had an independent lab in Denver, Colorado, verify the quality and consistency of their treats. They are truly as advertised. Go online today at howdypuppy.com. Link will also be in the show notes. And use promo code Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A, that's me, to get 20% off the absolute best CBD dog treats on the market. You will not be disappointed. Howdypuppy.com, promo code Tamara. Don't let them suffer needlessly. Let them enjoy life too. When you think about your business today, the salon and the online store, how has that changed from, let's just call it, February 2020, before all of it? How does it look different, and how has the online store helped you move forward?
The online store helps because we're in a time where people want convenience, and every small business is competing with Amazon, whether you want to admit it or not. We all are. Every client is guilty of knowing they could get their hair product from their stylist, but it's easier to get it on Amazon. And so, you know, it's a way to help keep revenue in the small business. You know, you're never going to win against Amazon, but at least you're an option for people who care. And it's just made it easier to keep, you know, to keep our clients using the products that we recommend for their hair that are going to be best for their hair, the products that we believe in. It helps them support our business. And then that led to me working with a candle maker to make a signature scented candle for the salon that I could retail and retail online, which has been very, very successful. I don't know. You just go along and you adjust and you figure out where there's holes or opportunity to, you know, to provide something that people want, need, that will benefit you as well as a retailer or a business or an individual.
First of all, what you said about adjusting, it's so simple yet so powerful, Tommy. So I don't want to go too fast over that. I just want to take a moment to say that those little adjustments add up over time. So, you know, Tommy, you're talking about adding breaths, right? Or adding or adjusting the language or doing this, but you can always edit and adjust. It's, I think, for a lot of people, easier said than done, or something that we overlook. We think we launched this, you know, thing into the world and then we're done. And you keep saying it, and it comes, I think, so naturally to you. And I think one of the keys to your success is just constantly tweaking and adjusting and editing it and being willing to do it in motion. And what I mean by that is in the real world. So it's not just in your head. It's like actually out there in the marketplace. And, you know, I remember when I used to work with big companies helping them create new products, I'd always say, well, the best test is if someone will open up their wallet. Like, don't tell me in a focus group. Tell me if someone's going to, let's go to a mall and let's see if someone's going to open up their wallet, because that's how you really know. And you're just so brilliant at constantly editing and adjusting. I'm curious if it's even possible to break down when you look at stuff and are kind of looking for the holes and the gaps and the opportunities. What's your thought process around that? What kind of questions do you ask yourself? Kind of what are you looking for? I feel like there's some nuggets in there if we can pull them out.
I try to, whether it's the products that we're retailing or the accessories that we're retailing or the gifts or the marketing imagery that I'm doing for Instagram, Facebook, or Google, I go back to old school marketing and really try to look at things from our target customer's point of view. We are open to everybody, all genders, all types, all ages, obviously, and we enjoy that. But every business has their target market. And for our salon being central in the city, our target market tends to be a young 30-something professional woman who likes to do things in the city, but is a little outdoorsy, but mostly for the selfie, you know, kind of a thing. I know what her apartment looks like. I know what she likes to do on Sunday. I've created this character. I actually gave her a name. Her name is Cameron. And she's this fictional character that I have in my head. And so when I'm looking at something and I'm trying to figure out if it needs adjusting, I'm trying to look at it through her eyes. Is this something that she would want to open her wallet for, or something that would be like, oh, I don't have that. I would like that. That'd be cute, you know, in my place or in my hair, or I need that for my hair. You know, I have this issue, I need a solution. And so I really try to look at things from that target market point of view as I'm tweaking it.
Tommy, that is absolutely brilliant. And what I just want to say is brilliant about it is we all think about our quote unquote customer, and that customer could be our clients like yours and clients like I have, or it could be your leadership and getting, like, if you're internal inside a company, like whoever you serve. But what I hear you saying that it's an exercise I want us all to do is really walking in their shoes and seeing the world through their eyes. I think we are very good at simple things like, oh, they're ages 30 to 45 and they live in the city and they have a job, but that doesn't tell you jack about them at all. But you've just described someone that I'm pretty sure I saw on Instagram the other day. Like, I know her.
Yeah. I really wanted to be very, very specific with who this person is that I try to look at everything from the perspective of, you know, she's very specific in my head. And so I really try to, you know, be her, and not necessarily, I'm not trying to speak to her. I'm trying to be a brand that she would own proudly. Does that make sense? Like, I want to be something that she would like wear, you know, like, this is Fleur Salon, you know, that's the kind of mindset I try to get myself in when I'm adjusting. Plus, I think I'm a perfectionist, so I keep like tweaking and tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. But you know, if you're a perfectionist who has to like stand still and keep tweaking, you'll never do anything. So you have to just keep adjusting as you go along. And I think maybe that's why I'm just so good at like jumping in and doing it, because I know I'm going to keep adjusting forever.
You just said something that totally spoke to me and I know is going to speak to all those perfectionists out there, which is you can still be a perfectionist. You don't have to go against that deep seated desire that you have if you're a perfectionist, but do it in motion. Don't do it in your head. And that is the fundamental difference in what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. I mean, nothing is permanent. So just jump in and just keep tweaking and being a perfectionist as you're moving along and putting one foot in front of the other. And eventually you'll say, hey, I really like the outcome of that. And then you'll move on to something else that you need to perfect and obsessive with.
I love it though, because I do think what stops us is the desire for perfection before it's possible. And what I hear you saying is you can perfect it or at least keep moving forward, but it's got to be an actual motion. And that's a very different way to channel your perfectionism, is probably a way to say it. You're just channeling it differently. That's all. Like, how much easier is that than walk away from that need to make it right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I get a lot of my just dive in and do it, figure out how to do it from my dad. You know, my dad was a blue collar master welder, worked on the railroad guy who, you know, there were times where money was tight. You know, if you don't, and he always said, if you don't have the money to pay somebody to do it, you figure out how to do it yourself. And so, you know, that it's kind of, if it was taught or bred into me to just figure it out, take a step back, analyze it, and then figure out how to do it, and then dive in and then just tweak it. Just keep going.
You know, this is going to be a little bit of a grand statement, but I think that because I've been interviewing a lot of people for the podcast, especially as we went up to 4 interviews a week, plus my wrap up, and which I'm so excited I did. It was not only is it the right thing, but it feeds my soul, because I get to, like you do with people in your chair every day, right?
Oh my
like,
gosh, I love it.
It's what you learn is amazing. And one of the things that I have heard continually that's really popped up is the theme is this figured out mindset. And it seems to me that the people who did not have that ingrained in them for some reason or another, or don't have that naturally, are the ones who are really struggling right now.
Well, and I think for people who feel like they're not good at figuring things out, I know a lot of people, I live with somebody who just says, I'm not good at those things. What's nice about today's, where we're at today, is if you're not a person that feels like you can just figure it out, there is information out there to help you figure it out. I am a huge fan of YouTube. You can find anything. I own an old house. You know, everything is a workaround and it's nothing straightforward. And YouTube and articles and have become so useful. So if there's a problem that you're having with your life or your business and you need to quote unquote figure it out, but you don't know how, you can find the information to at least get started. Or reach out to people who know.
Hey, Alexa has become my favorite phrase. I never thought I'd be that person, but she probably is going to start speaking in a minute because I just said, hey, Alexa. You know, anyway, that's a whole different conversation about figuring stuff out too. But I think that's really, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about how powerful that is, because that's the mindset we need to push forward. But you're right. You don't have to figure it out alone. Somebody somewhere has done it or can at least start you down that path. In the vein of kind of figuring it out, I'm wondering what's like a big obstacle you faced and how have you overcome it?
Off the top of my mind, the biggest obstacle that I've had post-pandemic has been leadership, because the workforce globally, I think, has had a chance to take a step back and really think about what truly is important to them in life. And so the way that I would lead my team in 2018, 2019 isn't effective anymore. And so people, freedom, flexibility, vacation time-ish, but now I kind of feel like there's a very big attitude among the entire workforce, not even just my industry, of if I can't do whatever I want, whenever I want, I just won't work for you, because I want freedom and I want flexibility and there's more to life than working. And so that's been challenging.
Have you found any big do's or don'ts in that leadership area that have helped you figure it out?
I never pictured having part-time stylists. I always pictured this team of full-time stylists. They're building this career out of this whole thing. And I'm the only full-time stylist in my salon right now. People want their flexibility. They want the time to either spend with their families or volunteering or just not working. I don't know what it is. People are trying to find that balance.
What I'm hearing is how you hired and who you hired had to change with what people want.
Yeah, I had a huge staff turnover. I mean, there was kind of an interesting situation as we came back into the salon after the shutdown, because there were so many rules and regulations that were insanely strict but completely vague at the same time. There was so as a team, we couldn't get on the same page about a lot of things that we needed to do in order to move forward, and it spiked control issues for people. And of course, I wasn't in a great place of knowing how to lead through this and grieving at the same time. So we've recently had a surge in hiring and a new team. But what I'm finding is I'm finding people who love to do hair, but they're not trying to work 15-hour days. They just love to do it. And for a few days a week, and they'll figure the rest out. And then they're just happier people. And what I'm finding is happy. If being part-time is going to make you happier, which is going to make a great team, okay.
Well, what I find super fascinating about what you're just saying, Tommy, is one is, hey, we have a high expectation of quality and a certain brand. Absolutely. That we're trying to put out there into the marketplace. And because, when you go to a salon and everybody rents a booth, but there's no cohesion between anybody, you know that.
Well, and that's why I was never interested in having a booth rental style salon from the get-go, because I really wanted to I didn't want people doing whatever they want, whenever they want within my business. And I have no control over that. I feel like we're at a place now where we are enough of a brand where I can attract the right type of stylist a booth rent stylist that would want to be part of our brand. And, you know, we could find the right fit for that.
Yeah. And what I really appreciate in all that is you haven't wavered on wanting that high quality, that expectation, that brand. But where you've been flexible is how you make that happen now. And so that booth rental, for example, when you said that, you didn't say some person off the street, you said someone who's been there, but maybe they've capped out in the way that we have our relationships. And now we have this new way that they can do it. And I hope all of us out there listening are really hearing that of, you don't have to give up one thing that really matters to the business, to the brand, to you personally, to have that flexibility in the other area. In fact, you can find new ways to do both.
Well, and I think that's what's really important. You have to find ways to adapt without sacrificing your vision or the quality of your product or business or your vision of it. You know, figure out how to stay course with that, but be able to adjust to make it work.
What is a big win you've had or something that you're really proud of?
A big win for me is you know, we have a huge presence on Google and with the social media. And I think that's a big win for us. I mean, we get a lot of traffic from that. I don't know. I mean, every hairstylist, every salon has their work on the social media, but I feel like a big win for us is we actually get a lot of business from it. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of, over the last 2 years, I don't feel like a big winner, honestly.
Yeah, I feel you.
I think it's, every day is like, are we okay? And we are. So it's a bunch of little wins, small wins that add up, but keep everything okay.
I'm a little speechless just because what you said just really hit home of, look, it's not about having a big win right now for a lot of people. It's about a lot of little wins. And sometimes those little wins are really little. And sometimes they're
tiny.
Yeah, sometimes they're more like a crumb. And other times they're, you know, a little bit more noticeable. But to not overlook those, because those are the ones that make us okay and keep us going forward. And I guess I'd hit home because I think for a lot of us, you know, and for a lot of the people that I talk to, and I'm sure a lot of people who, you know, sit in your chair and get their hair done, we're still under a lot of stress. Like things have not gotten quote unquote, I don't want to say better, but you know, we're still dealing with a lot. So.
Yeah. People are really dealing with a lot, you know, it's hard to even kind of remember the conversations that I was having with clients 3 years ago. They're so different. I talk about the pandemic all day, every day with everybody in my chair, because we all are still being so affected on some level every day. You know, the normal little things that we do are still being affected, and we're all just in it. And that's what we talk about. You know, I remember when we just used to talk about which celebrities are hot or which ones, you know, got bad haircuts or talk trash about The Bachelorette. I don't know. But, you know, now we're just like in this pandemic and we're all trying to figure out who we are and what we want out of life and how to deal with it. It's interesting.
There's definitely been a lot of reassessing of purpose and values and time. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that can be a really good thing. This has been so great. I can't believe we're out of time. And as a experiential risk taker, what advice do you have for other everyday innovators of all different types who are looking to do what you've done? And I would say be nimble, charge forward, and not just make the best of it, but do it with some incredible authenticity and some humor in it too.
You know, keep a sense of humor, be scrappy, or whatever word you need to use, just figure it out and you'll be okay. And you know, when you're not suffering, you're not figuring it out, or you're not suffering alone. You know, we're all trying to figure it out. Or if you're having a problem, there's somebody else that's having the same issue. And so, you know, if you reach out, you can really collaborate with people if you need to. And there's always information. Just don't give up. Just keep tweaking it as you go along. Keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep adjusting.
Right. It's the best advice out there. And I'll say the key, I think, I'm just going to add a layer to that in the finding people that are, you know, are also dealing with the same challenges you're dealing with, is to find the ones that don't come from a place of misery loves company, but coming from the place of I'm trying to move forward too. And for me, that's been a big difference in how I've been able to move forward. It's not just who I surround myself with and the problems that they, and not doing it alone, because that is a big part of it, but making sure that I don't get sucked into their misery loves company, because then you just end up stuck, you know?
Yeah, no, you definitely, there are people that are having the same issues that just want to wallow in it. Those aren't the people you want to collaborate with. You want to collaborate with the ones that are going to want to put their heads together and figure out solutions and help bring each other up. You know, I think salons used to compete, and now we're all kind of, all of the salon owners are talking to each other, trying to figure out how to navigate it and helping each other. It's been wonderful. That part has been wonderful.
Tommy, this has been amazing. I will put a link to your online store, to your website, to your salon on the...
Wonderful.
Yeah, of course, on the podcast page and in the show notes. I mean, you do, like I said, people don't understand what it takes to just make this not look like I just put my finger in a light socket. So thank you. But also, more than that, truly, like from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate you sharing your story and who you are and the journey you've been on. I think all of it, the personal and the professional side of it, will inspire a lot of people out there, which is why I wanted to have you on. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you very much. This has been fun.
Congratulations. By listening to this podcast, you took another step towards becoming an everyday innovator. To leap forward, visit www.gotolaunchstreet.com and take the Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment to discover your unique everyday innovator style and access the Everyday Innovator Digital Magazine for the top tools, insights, and inspiration at your fingertips 24/7. Tamara will be back with another Everyday Innovator conversation soon. In the meantime, if you got a nugget of value out of this podcast, let Tamara know by leaving a 5-star review and comment. Your review equals more guests, more listens, bigger impact. Until next time.